This show is produced and hosted by Mark Weber. The show is sponsored by G3 Apparel and the Van Heusen Company. The views expressed in the following program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinion of 710 WOR or iHeartMedia. Who is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
There is only one reason we're in the fashion business. There's only one reason luxury exists. There is simply only one reason retail, luxury, and fashion stores exist. To make money. Now, before you start getting off and questioning my logic, yes, I know. Clothing is an essential necessary to sustain life, along with food, water, air, shelter. Clothing. We all need clothes. Long time ago, I saw this commercial. It was one of the first original commercials for Barney's in New York. In it, a bunch of little boys sitting on a stoop. If I remember correctly, one is Casey Stengel, one is Fiorella LaGuardia, one is, I don't remember. But I think it makes the point, because one of them are Barney's.
What are you going to be when you grow up, Humphrey?
I'm going to be a big-time Hollywood actress. How about you, Louie?
I'm going to be a great horn-playing singer someday. How about you, Fiorello?
I'm going to be the mayor of New York.
Oh, no, how about you, Casey?
I'm going to be in the World Series.
Hey,
never
what are you going to do, Barney?
Yeah, Barney.
Yeah. I don't know. You're all going to need clothes.
Yes, Barney, we all need clothes. In this world, humans have monetized everything. I never dreamed we would be paying for water. Before we forgive college loans, maybe the government should mandate all water must be free. Talk about rights. For as long as we can remember, we humans have had to pay for shelter, a place to live. Air, at least that's for free. Not so fast. We don't breathe for free. It's called taxes. The right to breathe is paid for by the government taxing you. You want to be in this country? Breathe our air? It's going to cost you. I'll never forget, as an aside, when I was a teenager, I remember figuring out, if we could all stop eating, drinking, and breathing, we'd live forever. No more pesticides, poison, or pollution. But back to the essentials. Which brings us to clothing. It only stands to reason, if you need clothes to wear, you're going to pay for them. Once again, my original statement and premise. There's only one reason there's a fashion business, a luxury business, and a retail business. To make money. I'll never forget, I was a young man. I was working for Phillips Van Heusen, and I was in the hall with, at that time, my boss. And the patriarch of the company, Seymour Phillips of Phillips Van Heusen, came over to us and said, "Hey, guys, I have a question for you. Why are we working?" I remember my boss was very smart and the best voice he can come up with. He said, "Well, sir, we're here to create the best brand in America and have the largest shirt business in the world." "Eh? What about you?" I said, "We're working on having the best product and making sure that we differentiate ourselves from the competition." Seymour Phillips said, "Listen, guys, I appreciate it. You're on the right track, but there's only one reason we're here in this company. To make money. And don't ever forget it." And I never did. Now, when I think about it, what is the most important factor in the price of clothing? Brand, you might say? Designer? No. How about style? Maybe the fabric. I know. Country of origin, where it's made. And the answer is no, 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 no. The single most important component that generates value in luxury apparel is color. The wrong color in an item is useless. The right color is priceless. I don't care how great the designer, how great the brand, the style, the fit, the fabric, or made in Italy or France. The wrong color, nobody wants it, and there's no value. That is the price of color. And nothing in fashion drives sales or creates profit or, frankly, deters from profit is color. This industry, our lives, we are driven by color. Often the right color spells success. Conversely, the wrong color is a disaster. The choice of color is the color of money. Even if you think about automobiles, I looked it up. It said for 2020, think about this. Black represents 22.5% of every car that's purchased in America. White is 19.75%. Gray is 17.36%. Silver, 15.64%. That's over 75% in those simple, basic colors we're all familiar with. Yes, those are the colors of choice. And that is the monetary value of the color. Because I read an article and it said, 5 years from now, when you go to sell that car, you will get a significantly higher price and value if you have it in those colors. That is the color of money. And tonight's show, that's exactly what I want to talk about. I want to monetize everything. I want to talk about the color of money. Speaking of color, the always colorful, my son, my co-host, my lawyer, Jesse Weber. Hey, Jesse, you got a favorite color?
I do. I like color. I like to change it up. It adds a little bit of personality. My eyes are like a bluish green. So here's a little tip, guys. Depending upon what your eye color is, I like to wear blue. It makes the eyes pop, especially if you're on camera. That's a little tip. So I like wearing blue. I really like wearing pinks, believe it or not. When it's summertime, it adds something. White pants, you look like $1 million. My wardrobe, though, my professional wardrobe is pretty classic. I stick with navies. I stick with grays. I do a little bit of, like, you know, a little designs. I do a little bit of stripes. I add a little bit of personality, but it's pretty conservative. Now, golf, I go for it. I wear the most outrageous shirts. I just bought green pants. I wear, you know, blue pants with USA on them. I like to go for it. That's where my personality shines. I feel like I have a little bit more leeway when it comes to golf. But I think color is very important. I believe color can be occasion driven. That's my take. What about you?
Well, first I want to comment. I think your suits are perfect. But you're casual, not so. There's so many misses. You try and be very sharp. Yeah, there's simpler choices. You can look better consistently. Although I will agree that your golf is strong, but color suits you as well as classic. I don't know. Yes, my opinion, I'm simple. I've taken simple to an art form.
I wouldn't use the word simple with you. I'd say you're predictable and you're boring because pretty much everything that you have is the same thing over and over and over again. Your suits are navy, your suits are gray, casual black, golf, white pants, black. I mean, you're a cartoon character. I've said it before. You're boring. You know, when you turn on a cartoon, they're wearing the same outfit every episode. That's you. Let me tell you something. If there was a manhunt for you, and they needed to go through surveillance footage, like street cams, I'd be able to pick you out in 1 second.
Like, where's Waldo, huh?
You're where's Waldo. That's what you are.
Let me ask you, do I look good?
Yes, you do look good.
Do I look consistently good?
Other than your pants being so baggy you could fit like a village in there, I would say you're consistently good.
Mr. Ballerina Pants, do I ever embarrass you?
You embarrass me? No.
So what's wrong with consistently good?
You're boring.
To you. And what am I here to impress you with my wardrobe selections? I'm here to look my best.
Don't you think you should have some fun and experiment once in a while? I remember back in the day you had purple sweaters. You had a yellow sweater.
All right. You bring up a point, okay? I've never given much thought to fashion, except once in a while something breaks through to me. I'll never forget I was in London. I was sitting at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel. That's my hotel of choice in Knightsbridge. I was sitting there with my boss. We were having breakfast, and this tall, thin, great-looking Asian guy came in. He was wearing gray slacks, black shoes, a white shirt with a pink sweater. I'll never forget how amazing that looked. Now, because he was so thin, he tucked in his sweater, and I thought it looked fantastic. And it really got me going. Got me going. I really started changing my wardrobe. I got into chino, tan pants. I loved tan pants. And because of this guy, I wore it with white t-shirts or a pink sweater. I tried a light blue sweater. Black was always my basic I went to. I wore it with black suede shoes and a black suede belt. Stainless steel, black face watch. Once in a while, because I was wearing the lighter colors like pink or tan, I wore brown suede shoes with a brown suede belt. It was perfection. Perfection. So I'm in Las Vegas, and I'm feeling good, and I'm starting to play with color, and I figure, you know, I like this part of my world. And do you remember Purple Jesse?
Oh, my gosh. That was amazing.
So I'll tell the audience what happened. We're on the elevator. I'm feeling good. I'm wearing my light purple sweater, figuring I'm cool. I'm into color.
So what happens is we go down. We're in the elevator. There's a few people in the elevator. We stop at a floor, and the elevator's too crowded for the person to come in. And right as the doors are about to close, all you hear from the person who was waiting to go in the elevator, all you hear is, purple. And the doors close. Jared and I are hysterically laughing. People in the elevator were giggling. I was like, one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Purple.
Well, there's a great example about trying too hard with color. So I went down to the main floor, told the boys I'd be right back, went up to my room, put on my black sweater, came back down, changed my shoes to black suede, and I never wore purple again.
You're ridiculous. As hysterical as that is, it's one time and you give up?
Well, it wasn't one time. You know, I've told this story before. I remember going to a very important dinner. I was representing my company, and we were meeting with the then governor of New York. A big dinner, a lot of people being honored, and it just so happened because of our connection, we were going to go shake the governor's hand, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. At the time, we had a great shirt in the company called Kiana. It was a nylon knitted dress shirt. It was beautiful, silky looking. I had no business being in that. There's only one kind of dress shirt. It's called white, and it's called cotton. But leave it to me. I wore a light orange shirt with an orange and navy tie, and I went, and I met the governor. I remember when he looked at me. I remember he looked at me, and it just wasn't right. And that night I got home, and we all had pictures. I had my picture with me and my wife and the governor. I looked at myself, navy suit, orange shirt, navy and orange tie, and I said, Susie, how'd you let me leave the house like this? I look ridiculous. I can't believe I did this to myself, and I give you my word of honor. That next day, I stood in front of the mirror and threw out every single shirt I had that wasn't white. I put on my white dress shirt with a navy suit and navy tie. I looked in the mirror, and I realized I can't look any better than this. And right then and there, I made a decision to wear a white shirt every day to work. And for the next 15 years, I wore that white shirt with a navy or gray suit. And that was it.
All right, you made some mistakes. So what's your answer to that? You just give up? You looked great before. Now you're just saying, all right, my answer is to be boring?
Color is money. Color is money. I never forget when I was in the golf business, we were talking about colors, and one of the guys, a sales manager, very classy guy, said there are only two kinds of ways guys get dressed in golf. Said one guy comes in wearing a purple shirt, purple sweater, purple pants, and purple shoes. Mark, that's one way to dress. Wow! Look at him! And he said, then there's a guy who'll come in with a light purple shirt, maybe a purple sweater, light gray slacks and black shoes, and you go, wow, that is a nice outfit. And yeah, you have a choice. And for me, that's when I learned it. I knew color is money. It's the color of money. You need to know how to be simple and classy, how to take the pant, the shirt, the belt, and just keep it simple. And the key word is colors should blend because there's value in color. And with that, a heavy-duty shot on how we're starting the show, which we're calling The Color of Money. We'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. When I think about the single most important item in a man's wardrobe, it's his shirt. After all, the shirt sits right up by your face, and it's the platform from which you are seen. The right shirt, the right collar, the right fit says so much about you. Well, I worked for Van Heusen most of my career, and I know the company. The company was built on innovation. Fashion is a given, but innovation is something that someone needs a vision. And the people at Van Heusen have always had it from the beginning to now. Van Heusen makes a product with a flex collar. The collar moves with you. It's incredible how comfortable that collar is, particularly in a dress shirt, because over time, your fabric shrinks, gets tighter around the collar, but not Van Heusen's flex collar. But the newest innovation is something that I find incredibly interesting. stain shield. I know for myself, my best items, the things I love the most, I'm always worried about ruining them. And nothing has hit it more than stains. You drink wine, you have some mustard, some ketchup. You know, I know, sometimes we're sloppy. Can't help yourself. And you ruin your shirt. Van Heusen invented stain shield. No matter what now, whether it's coffee, wine, mustard, ketchup, you name it, hits your shirt, it will not stain. And because of the special drying properties of this new technology, it disappears. You wipe it off and you're good. This is a remarkable achievement, especially those of you who are big shots in business. You with the business lunches, okay? You go out, you have a business lunch, you're being cool, you think you're great, and boom, something gets on your shirt, you ruin it. Be surprised how when it's washed, it doesn't come back to normal. Van Heusen, innovators, flex collar, stain shield, amazing. And of course, the fashion is always spot on. Speaking spots. Van Heusen, stain shield, a great new innovation. Try it out.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
I see a red door and I want it painted black.
If you accept the fact that we're in business for one reason, to make money, few colors in that world rise above all else. Literally, black on a financial report is critical. It's saying that the business entity is making money and it's profitable. The color red on a financial report signifies losses. The business is losing money and has not recorded a profit. From a financial perspective, those are the two colors that are watched more carefully than any other. But from a practical perspective and in life, the best color in the U.S. of A. is green, the color of money. That is the show tonight, the color of money. I suppose when you come down to it, the color of money is my favorite color. I have a story about color. You ever think about it, there's no prejudice when it comes to green. Cash is king and money is green, no more so in business at the Magic Show in California. There was one of the world's greatest trade shows in California. It was called Magic, the Men's Apparel Guild in California. The acronym, Magic, Men's Apparel Guild in California. A bunch of suppliers got together and banded together. The show kept growing and growing and growing until it filled a convention center in California. And it was amazing to see. I'll never forget. You know, I get invited to the Magic Show. And because I was very, very heavy in advertising, Condé Nast, GQ, I forget which one of the magazines, during the Magic Show, decided to have a party at the Playboy Mansion. And I was invited. And I'll never forget walking in and saying to my wife, "Hey, Sue, you're not going to believe it. I was invited to the Playboy Mansion in California when I'm there. I can't wait to go." And she looked at me, "You're not going." I grew up my whole life reading Playboy, looking at the pictures. I'm not going to the Playboy Mansion. What are you, nuts? "You're not going. You're a married man. You're not going." I said, "Listen, Sue, I'm going." She said, "You're not going." We left it that way. The minute I got to California that night, I picked up a friend who I hadn't seen in a long time, a guy named Richard Barron. He was out in California trying to be an actor. And I went and I said, "I'm going to pick you up." I had a limo set up by the magazines, and I went to the Playboy Mansion. It was the coolest thing in the world to be in the Playboy Mansion. If I tell you, I've never been in a more boring place in my life. All the fun was stripped out of there to make for an interesting, boring business meeting.
There were no bunnies running around?
No, there was no nothing.
You know why?
Why?
Mommy called the Playboy Mansion.
She called Hugh Hefner herself and said, "Behave, huh?"
Look, between this story and the one from last week where you're talking about getting massages in Hong Kong, I don't even know what to think of you.
Japan.
Japan, you whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, you have to think about what I'm telling you. It was a boring party. Anyway, make a long story short. The show got so big that California's convention center couldn't have it. And the powers to be shopped it around and thought Vegas would be the perfect place to go. There were some great parties. I also sponsored one night Rod Stewart. Everyone in the world was at the Rod Stewart concert because my company, PVH at the time, sponsored Rod Stewart to talk. It was great, and the scope of the show turned out to be amazing. But I have a story, because tonight we're talking about the color of money, not just investing it in performances, but about business in general. Jesse, what's the name of the guy on the Shark Tank? You know, the guy who was in the fashion business.
Oh, from FUBU? Damon John.
FUBU. For us, by us. It represented a black entrepreneur building a company that represented the black culture. FUBU was hot. It was one of those exciting companies in the world, and everyone wanted a piece of it, and everybody wanted to wear their clothes while they were running. And I'll never forget, as a company, we ran the largest dress shirt company in the world at the time, amongst some other businesses. We said, wouldn't we love to be a part of FUBU and have dress shirts with the FUBU label? So we sent in our head of dress shirts, and he went and negotiated with FUBU, and sure enough, we got the license, the right to manufacture and sell dress shirts with the FUBU name. And sure enough, and lo and behold, the first time we were going to show the FUBU dress shirt line was at the Magic Show in Las Vegas. The FUBU company, to their great credit, took a huge booth and plied all their different businesses and all the different licensees to come and show their wares. And in my case, the FUBU dress shirt line. And it was an amazing event. And here's what I learned about it. When you walked in there, you saw people of color, thousands of them. You saw people that were Caucasians, Hispanics, black, all working together. There was an energy in that booth, the likes of which I have never seen before in my life. And it was all together. We were all together. There was no color. We were all working towards success. There was no nonsense. There was only one color in the world at Magic at that time. And that color was green. It's interesting how work and economics and the opportunity to improve your life and make a living and focus on green eliminates racism. I'll never forget how I enjoyed that feeling in there, how I felt the common good. There's something about that we should all remember in life. We should never forget it. That jobs, the ability to make money, crosses all boundaries. And prior to the craziness of COVID, when the economy was booming, and every economic center and every kind and every diverse population had the lowest unemployment in the history of the company, or at least for 50 years, changed the tenure of the country. Everybody was working for the common good. And I think we should always remember that jobs, responsibility, and dignity go a very, very long way. And it's no wonder that if you ask me my favorite color, it's green. But I'm referring to money. Speaking about money, when I first joined a company, I learned some very important lessons. I worked for some brilliant people, and I got to meet some really great people along the way. One of them is a guy named Bud Winstrell. Do you recognize that name, Jesse? I don't believe I ever talked about it on the show.
No, that's a name I think I would remember.
Well, Bud Winstrell was the president of a button company called Koppers, K-O-P-P-E-R-S. Bud Winstrell and I became good business friends. We'd have lunch. We talk about the industry, and it was just nice. And Bud really, really took a liking to me. I handled myself well. I respected those things that made sense, and I appreciated business and appreciated him helping. One day, out of the blue, he came to me and said, I have a job for you. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I have another job for you. I think you should leave the company. I almost fell off my chair. I said, I love it here. What are you talking about? He said, Mark, there's only one reason you work. It's for money. I'd never given a thought to leaving the company. I'd been with PVH for 3 years. I was doing really well. Now, how do I define really well? The company loved me. Forget what I was earning. Forget what I was doing every day. Whatever I was doing, the company appreciated me, and I knew I had a great future ahead of me. But sure enough, this Bud fellow, my friend, the president of Koppers Button, said, you ought to go talk to these folks at Capital Mercury. I told them about you and they want to meet you. And lo and behold, I went up to meet them. They were a private label company. They didn't have brands. Basically, what they did is they sold products that looked like brands, products to JCPenney, Sears, and Kmart at the time, and they made tons of money. And the fact that I was at Van Heusen, one of the innovators in the industry, they couldn't pay me enough to come. And sure enough, they offered me double my salary to come and join them. I remember going home that night and saying to Mark, you're not going to believe this. I had this interview, you know, with these people, and they offered me double the salary. Should I go or not? My wife was always smarter than me. Are you happy where you are, Mark? Yeah, I'm very happy. What makes you think you can't earn what they're offering you? I'm not saying I can, but they're offering it right now. And I gave it some really hard thought as to whether or not I should leave. And my sole motivating factor is money. And tonight we're talking the color of money. Money made me leave PVH to go to Capital Mercury Shirt Company. When I got there, they treated me as gold. They were so happy to have me there, to have someone from the Van Heusen Company within their private label group, someone they can learn from, how brands thought, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was a marriage made in heaven. They were gentlemen. They treated me well. There were a couple of jerks, but there always are. And I was doing really, really well right out of the box. And for all intents and purposes, the doubling of my salary allowed me to bank the entirety of my income that was more than I was making at the other company. My other company, I was covering all my expenses. Now I'm banking all this additional money. It was a great feeling. At the end of 3 months at Capital Mercury, all the money I was making, the treatment I was getting, I wasn't happy. You see, Van Heusen and the brands, the big brand companies are like Broadway. These other smaller companies, like Capital Mercury, was a very good company, but it felt like off-Broadway. I felt I was in the wrong place. I felt I belonged in the major leagues, not the minor leagues. I realized that all the money in the world is not worth it if you don't find the value for yourself. Now, as luck would have it, my boss wanted me back, found a way to bring me back, and paid me the same salary that I was earning at the other shirt company. So for me, it worked out. But if there's ever a story about money, just remember in life, money's not everything. I'll take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. I remember so clearly when Donna Karan hit the scene. It was explosive. She was one of the most dynamic designers in the history of the world, and her product was very, very different from anything anyone in America had ever seen. She was modern. She was New York. She was vibrant. When you looked at the business in those days, there were companies like Ralph Polo or Tommy Hilfiger or Nautica, great traditional American brands, but no one identified modern. You wanted modern, you had to find Giorgio Armani. Black was the basis of his presentation, and everything about it had a European chic to it. But not in America until Donna came. Donna was a New York life resident, understood the pace of the city, understood what it was like to live in the city that never sleeps, that goes 24/7. Donna invented DKNY, Donna Karan, New York. I'll never forget the first time I saw it. I was in London, and they had built a magnificent four-floor store in a building with an open roof, a glass ceiling. Glass ceiling, I suppose, representing we're changing the way things are done. DKNY was, frankly, nothing short of extraordinary, both men and both for women. Black was the basis of the brand, although the many colors played off the palette. And they all look good against black. Let's face it. We live active lifestyles. We get up in the morning. We do different things. We work. We play. Evenings is about entertaining and seeing the best that New York has to offer. DKNY offers a collection of menswear and womenswear, but footwear, accessories, suits, shirts, ties, women's sportswear, women's activewear that speaks to the lifestyle that goes with you wherever you want to go. And it's always modern, it's always contemporary, it's always at the forefront of what fashion should be with a New York lifestyle in mind. I've lived the life. I was the chairman and CEO of Donna Karan. I understood what that brand meant. And I can tell you, if you want to step out and you want to walk away from your traditional roots, if you want to be modern, you want to make a statement of elegance, but in a New York kind of way, with the sophistication of New York, as a person who understands all the city has to offer and all the modern lifestyle in America is about, you find it everywhere. People are forcing themselves, urging themselves to get out and be special and live this lifestyle. DKNY. You can find DKNY at DKNY.com or in Macy's. I'm telling you guys and I'm telling you ladies, you can look chic, you could look special, you look right. DKNY.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
You found someone, and don't it make my brown eyes.
We all have color in our life. In fact, tonight's show is the color of money. I'm talking about where color comes into life. Obviously, in fashion, luxury retail, color plays a role. But there was a period in time that pink was the most important color in my life. Not because I wore it. I was at LVMH, the CEO of LVMH Inc., and part of my responsibility was overseeing the Thomas Pink Global Shirt Company. It grieves me to say it, but I read a few headlines this week that went as follows. Pink goes offline as COVID takes the shirt off its back. Pink shirt maker bows out of business. LVMH taking offers for the intellectual property. I loved my affiliation with Thomas Pink. Thomas Pink was an amazing shirt brand. Thomas Pink of German Street in London. German Street is the Seville Row for shirts and neckwear and accessories in London. It is the place to be, and that's where Thomas Pink established itself. I remember doing an advertising company. I like any color as long as it's pink. All the labels were pink. The trimmings were pink. It was an amazing, amazing brand. Thomas Pink was in stores all over China, the United States, some of the greatest malls. New York alone. We had a store in Wall Street. We had a store on 6th Avenue right in the business district. We had a store in Time Warner Center. Where else? I need to think about it. But we had stores and they were doing okay. I was very, very proud of the Thomas Pink story. I was very proud being involved with the brand. I was very proud that LVMH, in addition to my other responsibilities, gave me the corporate oversight of that business. Well, fast forward, I'm running this brand. All the labels are pink. Beautiful pink color. All the boxes are pink. It was kind of like a shirt version of Tiffany, you know, with the blue. They did in pink. And it was brilliant. The guy running it, Jonathan Heilburn, was the financial guy from the first times they launched. He and I forged a great working relationship. And we traveled pretty much wherever the brand was. And we did everything, and he did everything, to make this luxury brand extraordinary. As time goes on, it occurred to me that maybe we didn't have to always do things in retail, that maybe we could sell some of the product to some of the finest retailers in America and make money doing it. And I'll never forget, we made a decision to approach Neiman Marcus. I knew the president and CEO of Neiman Marcus at the time, and I introduced Jonathan to her, and sure enough, we started a business with Neiman Marcus. I remember, I'd go to Neiman Marcus stores in New Jersey, wherever they were in New York and New Jersey, around the country, and I would see Thomas Pink front and center. Beautiful presentation. Those of you who don't know, the British shirt makers are very bold stripes, very stiff collars, French cuffs that are fused, proper British shirts that will last the test of time, and they were worth every bit of the $200 and $250 that they sold for. We got a great presentation from Neiman Marcus, and after a few months, I get a call that Neiman Marcus is dropping us. I couldn't believe it. What do you mean they're dropping us? They're dropping us. Do you know why? We're just not selling well. So I never forget, I got on a plane. I went to Texas to meet with the CEO, president of Neiman Marcus. And she said, in a nutshell, we love the product. It's great looking, great quality. It belongs in our store. Except our salespeople don't want to sell it. And here's a very interesting lesson. Jesse, for $1 million, why do you think the salespeople didn't want to sell Thomas Pink?
I don't know.
I'm offering you $1 million.
Maybe they didn't want to detract from other brands?
Ooh, not worth $1 million, but close.
Do I get like $100,000 or anything?
No. All of Neiman Marcus's salespeople worked on commission. And when a customer would come into the store and buy a suit or say they're looking for a shirt, would they take them over to Thomas Pink and earn, let's say, a 10% commission on a $250 shirt? Or would they prefer a 10% commission on a $500 shirt? And that's what happened. They went to the shirt brands that could sell for more money because they made more money themselves. So it didn't matter how beautiful our presentation is and how much space we had in the store. If the salespeople preferred to sell other brands, we weren't going to be successful. And it wasn't as successful as I hoped. To make a long story short, you like that?
Yeah. I wish I would have known that 5 minutes ago. I could have won $1 million.
Well, maybe I'll forget and I'll offer it to you another time. But as time went on, I was right from day one. Listen, I've been on the air 5 years. Jesse and I have been doing this for 5 years. We never had a negative word to say about LVMH. And to this day, I never will. I never found people I respected more. They treated me brilliantly. And I made them a lot of money and they made me a lot of money. They're a great company. But when it came to Thomas Pink, they just didn't understand it. First time around, I would tell you in our meetings, it was a little like groupthink. We'd go into these meetings, and the chief financial officer had a point of view of what Thomas Pink would be, and the head of human resources is a point of what Thomas Pink would be, and the marketing people, and the president, and on and on and on. I would sit there and listen and say, every one of these people are entitled to their opinion. They all have heavy votes, but what makes them more right than us? But the fact that they have this luxury background, I would always acquiesce and allow them to go their own way. When I left LV, not long after I was on my book tour, I walked in a store and I noticed a couple of things. One, they changed the pink label and they made it white. Why in the world, when you have the greatest label, do you change the color? And I said, something doesn't feel right. And I started to look at the product, and it looked more basic. It didn't have the same je ne sais quoi. I know that's not British, but it didn't have that same feeling that it had when I was there. And something disappeared. There was no energy. We had a store in the Time Warner Center, and I walked in there. Literally, there was nothing I could buy. And I knew this company was in trouble. To make a long story short, and why am I talking about pink right now? Because I'm talking about color, and pink for a long time was my favorite color. Reading in the paper that they're closing up the business and selling off what's left really disturbed me. And what disturbed me even more is another company using COVID to hide behind. Thomas Pink started going down long before COVID. I can't point my finger at it. I don't know who was there or what was there. I only know I saw the change. It grieves me to have spent that time in that company, having so much respect for the brand, to see it going down. But on a night we're talking the color of money, pink seems to have lost some money. I'll be back in a moment.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. There's nothing more important than your shirt if you're a man. Shirts sit right next to your face. It's the launch point for how you look. Shirt is the foremost thing that anyone will see when they look at you and set the stage. I know the Van Heusen company. I know their great products. Van Heusen has always had an extraordinary fashion sense. And almost more important is their understanding of technology and innovation as a shirt company. They began as manufacturers and learned how to make shirts the proper way. They've come across an astounding new technology called Stain Shield. Believe it or not, you can't ruin your shirt any longer by staining it. Coffee, wine, mustard, ketchup, you're a mess, you're not going to make your shirt a mess. It'll wipe right off. When you wash it, you're good. You'll never ruin your shirt. You take this incredible stain-free technology, combine it with a flex collar that never shrinks, never goes out of style, will always be comfortable when you wear it, and you have an extraordinary new invention from the Van Heusen Shirt Company. I can't tell you how many shirts I've lost along the way. Shirts that I loved because of staining them. Well, that's no more. Van Heusen Stain Shield. Look right, feel right, and know that you have a friend for life. This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. Venues and shirts are worth the investment.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, now go cat go, but don't you.
Tonight our show is the color of money. Thought about one of my favorite colors is green. Not in clothes, but money. The color of our money is green. After all, we're in business for one reason, to make money. But on a personal note, we also have to know how to dress. Talked a little earlier about my mistakes. I do have something, though, that I want to talk about because it applies to men and women. And it has to do with fashion. I don't believe in standing out. I'll allow my personality to stand out. I believe my clothes should complement me. And there is nothing more versatile in this world that you pretty much can wear wherever you want to go, except black tie, than khaki. Khaki is comfortable. It's casual. It could be dressed up. It could be dressed down. But you can blend in. There's a comfort level in khaki. Khaki began, where did it come from? In the 1800s, military people started wearing khaki. In fact, it was the British who started it. See, khaki's always been worn by the military. They get it. The idea is look sharp, look pressed, look good, blend in. Do you realize we would all be speaking with a British accent if the British understood khaki in 1776?
You got to explain that one to me.
Just think about that. All the British Army was wearing red coats. We could see them from a mile away. The patriots, the settlers, the people who became the founders of this country were shooting them, picking them off. It was easy. They were walking around in red coats. Where our guys were dressed in rugged outdoor wear that blended in with the trees and the bush. The British were wearing red. If they even figured this out a few years earlier, we'd all have British accents.
You're saying that the color red is the reason we're the United States of America right now?
I do believe that. Yes, it even said it. I've seen articles about it. But the point is, khaki is a great, great color. It's always been one of my favorites. I got lost in it a while. You know, khaki, you can wear two things. If you're traditional with a Madras plaid shirt, always looks great with cashmere sweaters. Penny loafers. I love Basswegian penny loafers. They look great. And that's the way traditional people do it. They put a navy blue blazer on and they're boom. They could go anywhere. Dress it up, dress it down. I, for one, am a modern guy. When I wear my khakis, I'll tell you what I do. If it's wintertime, I'm wearing a black turtleneck sweater. If summertime, I'll either wear a black shirt or I'll wear a black sweater, a V-neck with a white shirt underneath it. When I want to dress it up a bit, I wear a denim shirt with a black blazer. The black makes the khaki stand out. I'm always wearing black suede shoes, but if I was going to go out for a night and I wanted to wear khakis, I'd probably wear a black turtleneck, khaki pants, black suede shoes, and a black top coat. Looks sensational. I love the color khaki. I think you all should think about it. I think you ladies know how to deal with neutral colors, and they always look great. And you want to talk about making money? You put khaki pants in your store. They never go out of style. You never have to mark them down. They're there forever. The right khaki shirt is always a staple in Ralph Lauren. I like it. And this whole thing about the military, you just learned a lesson. Think about camouflage. It's not red. It's not royal blue. It's the color of the sand or it's the color of the trees. I love it. I want to take a little variant. Somebody sent me something in the mail that I can't help but, I guess, act out. So I was thinking about money and tonight, of course, and I was thinking about where is the world going. I've talked about I always was concerned for the future of mankind after I saw the Terminator. I've been worried about robots. Then I've been worried about clones. But I realized artificial intelligence is starting to really make us nervous. They know too much about everything. You know, we're giving our lives away to our phones, our iPads, our computers. They're controlling everything. And where's all our money going? We're encouraging it. Talk about color tonight. You don't think technology cares about color? Liquid metal. Look at the color they used in that movie in The Terminator. Look at your iPhone. It comes in 6 or 8 colors now. Everything is about color. But somebody sent me this, and I thought it was worthy of a call out. See, I'm at home. I am pretty much under house arrest. I'm here. The only thing missing is the electronic ankle. But I needed to order some food. And I came across this from someone, which I thought was very apropos. This is what it's like ordering a pizza now. Hey, is this Pizza Hut?
No, sir. It's Google Pizza.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have dialed the wrong number.
No, sir. Google bought Pizza Hut last month.
Oh, okay. I'd like to order a pizza.
Do you want your usual, sir?
My usual, huh? You know me?
Well, according to our caller ID data sheet, the last 12 times you called, you ordered an extra large pizza with 3 cheeses, sausage, pepperoni, mushrooms, and meatballs on a thick crust.
Uh-huh. All right, that's what I'll have.
May I suggest that this time you order a pizza with ricotta, arugula, sun-dried tomatoes, and olives on a whole wheat gluten-free thin crust?
Hey, well, I'm not a vegetarian. I don't want a vegetarian pizza.
Your cholesterol is not good, sir.
How the hell do you know that?
Well, we cross-referenced your home phone number with your medical records. We have the result of your blood test for the last 7 years.
Okay. But I don't want your rotten vegetarian pizza. And for the record, I already took my medication for my cholesterol, thank you.
Excuse me, sir, but you have not taken your medication regularly. According to our database, you purchased only a box of 30 cholesterol tablets once at Lloyd's Pharmacy 4 months ago.
You know, I bought more from another pharmacy.
That doesn't show on your credit card statement.
Oh, yeah, I paid cash.
But you did not withdraw enough cash according to your bank statement.
I have other sources of cash.
That doesn't show on your latest tax returns unless you bought them using an undeclared income source, which is against the law.
What the f***?
I'm sorry, sir. We use such information only with the sole intention of helping you.
All right, enough already. I'm sick to death of Google, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, and all the others. I'm going to an island somewhere without the internet, TV, where there is no phone service and no one to watch me or spy on me.
I understand, sir, but you need to renew your passport first. It expired 6 weeks ago.
Welcome to the future. With that, be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. I remember so clearly when Donna Karan hit the scene. It was explosive. She was one of the most dynamic designers in the history of the world, and her product was very, very different from anything anyone in America had ever seen. She was modern. She was New York. She was vibrant. When you looked at the business in those days, there were companies like Ralph Polo or Tommy Hilfiger or Nautica, great traditional American brands, but no one identified modern. You wanted modern, you had to find Giorgio Armani. Black was the basis of his presentation, and everything about it had a European chic to it. But not in America until Donna came. Donna was a New York life resident, understood the pace of the city, understood what it was like to live in the city that never sleeps, that goes 24/7. Donna invented DKNY, Donna Karan, New York. I'll never forget the first time I saw it. I was in London, and they had built a magnificent four-floor store in a building with an open roof, a glass ceiling. Glass ceiling, I suppose, representing we're changing the way things are done. DKNY was, frankly, nothing short of extraordinary, both men and both for women. Black was the basis of the brand, although the many colors played off the palette. And they all look good against black. Let's face it, we live active lifestyles. We get up in the morning, we do different things. We work, we play. Evenings is about entertaining and seeing the best that New York has to offer. DKNY offers a collection of menswear and womenswear, both footwear, accessories, suits, shirts, ties, women's sportswear, women's activewear that speaks to the lifestyle that goes with you wherever you want to go. And it's always modern, it's always contemporary, it's always at the forefront of what fashion should be with a New York lifestyle in mind. I've lived the life. I was the chairman and CEO of Donna Karan. I understood what that brand meant. And I can tell you, if you want to step out and you want to walk away from your traditional roots, if you want to be modern, you want to make a statement of elegance, but in a New York kind of way, with the sophistication of New York, as a person who understands all the city has to offer and all the modern lifestyle in America is about, you find it everywhere. People are forcing themselves, urging themselves to get out and be special and live this lifestyle. DKNY. You can find DKNY at DKNY.com or in Macy's. I'm telling you guys and I'm telling you ladies, you can look chic, you could look special, you look right. DKNY.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
When you really come down to it and you think about life and you think about all these things we see in life, pretty much everything has a price. We're consumers. We're about buying things. Some things we need, some things we want. No matter what it is, they each have certain importance to every one of us. Some of us think where something is made has value. Some of us don't care. Some of us believe value is different from other ones. We all share the same degree of value. But nonetheless, one thing is clear throughout. Color plays an important role in our lives. Color has value. Sometimes it's priceless, sometimes it's meaningless. In business, the color red is bad, color black is great. There's no question when it comes to money, green is our color. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show because I enjoyed delivering it. It was some funny subjects and some subjects that we could learn from. With that said, tonight was the color of money. Maybe next week will be the color of life. Stay tuned. We'll be back.